The Brad Cessnat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. We are going to go a bunch of different directions on today's show. Pedro Gomez will join us with the Diamondbacks and Dodgers tonight in L.A., finally squaring off four-game series. I remember back in May, Eric and I were complaining about, I am so sick and tired of seeing the Dodgers. I want to see other teams. And now, because of what has gone on as the last 4 months have progressed, it's awesome to see the Dodgers. A four-game Labor Day weekend series with one of your rivals. The Diamondbacks today are half game up on Colorado. They are one up on the Dodgers. So we'll talk with Pedro, who's actually in Cleveland today. He's at Progressive Field. The Indians and their pursuit in the American League. Pedro's hot on the trail. They're playing Minnesota, the Twins in second place in the Central. So we'll talk baseball with Pedro about the Diamondbacks, Dodgers, and much, much more. Goody at the movies today. Bill, of course, is probably weighing in on social media and watching the service for Senator McCain at North Phoenix Baptist, where Larry Fitzgerald is scheduled to speak. Luis Gonzalez and Shane Doan are pallbearers today. A very somber, sad day in our community, and one that has three of our biggest names in sports participating in Senator McCain's service. So we'll talk with Goody about the service, the coverage, and The Little Stranger. It's the movie that Bill wants to get into this week, and other stuff too. You never know with Bill. Our opening comments brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. And when you do that, you need life insurance. And the only place to go, in my humble opinion, is Sagicor. Go to sagicornow.com, log on, get your free quote. No waiting, no hassle. Check out their products for you. You can do it all online at Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Pedro Gomez in about 11 minutes. All right, so let's start with baseball, and I'll get over to, I won't go heavy here because Pedro and I will do a bunch of it, but the bottom line is last night was a very interesting ball game for the Diamondbacks in San Francisco. It would have been nice on the road trip to win two of three if you're a Diamondback fan before coming into L.A. At a minimum, going in against the Dodgers, you would like to see a four-game split. That's just how I react to things. Last night, Torey Lovello, about 2 weeks ago, said they were contemplating some things with their lineup. And really, it'd been the same stuff day after day after day. Well, Steven Souza Jr. last night was put in the leadoff spot. And Steven Souza Jr. actually did something big time at the plate to give the Diamondbacks some offense. Remember, this is a team that hadn't done anything at all in the previous three games at the plate. And so last night, he hit one out, hit the home run, and the Diamondbacks finally had enough offense. And for him, just to whack it on out of there, that was a no-doubter in the San Francisco cool air, cool night, and to give the Diamondbacks a little bit of a lead to start out for Zach Godley. Souza, though, played a big part in last night's game. It wasn't just the home run that he hit. He made one of the best defensive plays that you will ever see. And he was able to come up with this diving catch. Check this one out. Just lays out. Yeah. And that's getting it done. For a guy that this season, let's be honest, when we're talking about Steven Souza Jr. this year, when they acquired him, I like that from Zach Godley. Like, hey, man, I got my hat tipped to you. Give it back. There you go. Steven Souza Jr. has not done much this year. He's been hurt a couple of times. He has been, I guess, a nemesis to the opposition. He's had a couple of dust-ups. He's brought some grit. Those of you that have watched through the years know that I'm very much a believer that you have to have grit in order to be a successful baseball team or any sports team. If you have a bunch of nice guys, it's not going to work. You have to have the guys that are going to mix it up. The guys that are maybe not your front-line guys. I'll give you an example. When the Diamondbacks won the World Series, they had a guy named Greg Colburn over on the bench. And Colby was just a dude that would come up and make plays happen, played the game old school, would get into people's faces. David DeLucci was the same sort of guy. Steven Souza Jr., all these years later, has a little bit of sandpaper about him, and I like that. It's just he hasn't done anything until last night. And so I don't know if Torey Lovello said, you really don't want to do advanced scouting on Steven Souza Jr., put him in the leadoff spot. We'll just pick it the day before the Dodgers. It's something different to throw at L.A. tonight in their series. And we'll talk with Pedro here in a couple of minutes. Beyond that, Robbie Ray is throwing tonight. If there's been one pitcher this season who hasn't been right, It's Robbie Ray. You can go through everybody else at the start of the season and even last year. Robbie Ray was nails. He was, this is going to be our guy. Robbie Ray's terrific. Well, this year, has Robbie Ray been terrific? And the answer is no. And he's had some injuries, but you've got him on the front end of a four-game series tonight. And it just feels like 5 1/3, 8 hits, 5 runs. I hope I'm wrong. But I'm not in full confidence that that's going to be the way that it goes tonight. So the Dodgers have won 5 in a row. They've got momentum. The Diamondbacks come into tonight, and I will be watching tonight. It'll be great to see. Great drama for sure. There's a lot of news on the football front. Some of it's on the college end. Some of it's on the pro end. Obviously, we are looking ahead to the start of the college season. I'm going to be in Tucson on Saturday night. Haley and I and Shannon Leibrock, who takes great photos for our staff, the three of us are going to head down to Tucson for the U of A-BYU game. Eric, you're going to the ASU game, and I think, was it Big Andy Silvis is going to be on with you?
Yep, we'll be tag-teaming it. He will be shooting a gallery, and I will be shooting the game.
What's Jordan doing Saturday night?
I don't know.
So he's not doing anything, huh? You don't know?
I don't know.
You don't have any idea?
You're the boss. Why are you telling me?
I'm just curious. Is Jordan volunteered? Is he just kind of sloughing, or...
Do we have a problem here? I'm not sure. I don't think there's a problem, no. I mean, we're all working a lot, so... I mean, people are allowed,
to
take days off. I'm going to be off all next weekend as part of my...
What are you talking about? You're off next weekend?
...pre-structured deal that I struck with you back in 2004 when we started this company.
Wait a second. Michigan State's ASU is next
Correct, and the Redskins Cardinals. I know, great timing on my part.
Where are you going?
I'm actually having a friend visit. So, a friend visit. Yeah, my old roommate is going
to
be visiting
Your old roommate. Can't say to your old roommate, here's the remote. I'm going to a game.
Well, my old roommate is from Michigan and grew up a Michigan State fan.
Oh, you're going to the game.
And by coincidence, his favorite NFL team is the Redskins.
Oh.
So we're doing the double next weekend.
Wow.
Yeah, I've never seen a Cardinal game as a fan. Ever. Not one time. I've never been to a Cardinal game at UOP.
When's the last time you got into a brawl at a football game?
Never.
Okay.
Not a fighter.
Just wondering if that's something that would happen. So our staff's all, we're going to be all over the place. Eric's going to be out at a high school game or two on Friday night. So we love it when everything gets cranked up and going. We don't care about tonight's Cardinals game. We just don't. It's the fourth game of preseason. Josh Rosen's not playing.
That's where Jordan's going to be tonight. He's covering Cardinals Broncos.
Oh, is that right?
He is.
He volunteered for that?
Yep.
He should get hazard pay.
Yep. He's like, I'll be able to get a lot of work done in the press box.
Big Titanic battle.
Watching the scrimmage down on the field.
This is great football. No, it's not. Most of these guys are going to be applying at Rick Neuheisel's office next week.
Yeah, practice football game 4.
Wow. So that's going on tonight. The on the pro end outside of the Cardinals, so Brett Hundley was traded yesterday. I don't know if Haley and Jordan hit on this. I'm just going to briefly say, those of you that have seen us through the years, you know that I have an affinity for Brett. When he was at Chandler High and he needed some help with media and that sort of thing, I just volunteered and helped him out, struck up a friendship. I consider him a friend to this day. We texted yesterday. And so I'm a little bit jaded on this one. It's not often that I get close with somebody. I wouldn't say we're best of bests, but I care what happens to him. And so he was traded off to Seattle. I think it's a really good fit for him. I think it's a really good fit for the Seahawks. I don't think Green Bay was going to work out for him. He got crushed last year. He made poor decisions last year on the field, right? I'm not one of those that sits here and says, oh, is everybody else's fault? No, there were times where he flat wasn't good. And so when they picked up DeShone Kizer, it was over with. That was the end of it. And so he moves on to Seattle, and we'll probably see him at some point. Being there with Russell Wilson, who's going to be around for a long time, it's a terrific fit, I think, for Brett. And that's great. The same time the Packers traded Brett yesterday morning, then yesterday afternoon, rather than answering questions about Brett, they just turned around and gave Aaron Rodgers the biggest contract in NFL history for a quarterback. Of course they did. And Aaron Rodgers will hold on to this about as long as Matt Ryan held on to it, because Cam Newton is going to be next. Whether you like Cam Newton or not, Cam Newton is going to get a bigger deal than Aaron Rodgers. That's just how it works in the NFL. So Aaron gets his deal done. He says he wants to play into his 40s. And then New Orleans picks up Teddy Bridgewater yesterday. I thought that was interesting. So there's stuff on that front. A little bit later, we're going to talk about mental health and sports. You guys know I've done the concussion stuff. We've talked a lot about it. But here in the last year, even less than that, when Kevin Love came out over on the NBA side and said he was dealing with depression, and people started making fun of him and he had anxiety and all of that. Well, I believe that mental health in our country is a big, big deal, right? Well, then it's got to impact sports. And I'm going to tell you about a quarterback later in the show who was in our state, who decided to walk away because of his mental health, struggling with depression and other stuff. I'll tell you about that later in the show. And some interesting stuff over on the U.S. Open on tennis. We have all these controversies in tennis, plus Goody at the Movies. But next, back to baseball with Pedro Gomez, ESPN's baseball analyst on Diamondbacks Dodgers. He's in Cleveland today with the Indians. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Pedro Gomez joins us now, ESPN baseball analyst. He is in Progressive Field in Cleveland, Minnesota, and the Indians. The memorial service for Senator John McCain is going on while we are doing the show today. And Pedro and I have not talked since the senator passed away. And I'm sure that you have John McCain's stories given your time at the ballpark and here in state. So let's just start there with Senator McCain and you.
I think anybody who has worked sports in Arizona has McCain stories because he was such an avid sports fan. And I met him on several occasions, and every time he only wanted to talk about either boxing or baseball. That was all he wanted to talk about, like what I thought of the latest up-and-comer in boxing, or if he wanted to be nostalgic about the great time in the 80s when all the middle, you know, the lighter weight boxers were at just the best probably that boxing has ever seen, whether it be talking about Marvin Hagler or Tommy Hearns or Ray Leonard, Wilfredo Benitez, Roberto Duran. I mean, it was such a great time period for boxing, which he always had an affection for because he wanted to make sure that the boxers were safe.
Right.
And I remember that when Ray Mancini, you know, tragically, Duke Koo-Kim died in the ring during a fight. And, you know, he was one of the guys that was pushing for, you can't have 15 rounds anymore. It's got to be 12 at the max. And this was important to him, the safety of boxers. And then, you know, me being a baseball guy as well, he always wanted to talk about the D-backs and baseball in general, the few times that I did meet him. And like I said, I mean, anybody who's covered sports in Arizona probably has a John McCain story because he sought you out mm-hmm. because he wanted to talk sports. Here I was wanting to maybe talk politics, and he was like, No, Pedro. Yeah. We're going to talk sports.
did you ever visit with him about your country and where you came from?
We did. It did come up because he knew that I was from Cuba, and he was, you know, he was somebody that was always curious about everything in life. And so, me being Cuban, he did ask me on several occasions about, you know, my parents leaving Cuba, what it was like for them coming here to the U.S. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he just seemed genuinely happy to see how I had risen from you know, the fact that my parents came here in 1962 with my mother 8 months pregnant with me, and how he mentioned how this truly is a land of opportunity. Because look where you are, Pedro, and that's not necessarily the case in every country. So, you know, these things always came up, and he just showed genuine he was always a somebody that wanted to know about you. How are things going with you?
Right.
And those are the things I'll always remember.
Did you two ever spar over baseball topics? Because I know when I would have him on, and or I'd see him, and it would be, you need to be more positive about the Coyotes in particular, but or in the Diamondbacks during the run in 2001. And did you two ever spar?
A little bit. Spar is a strong word, but you know, it's funny because it's exactly what you mentioned. When I was at the Arizona Republic, which, you know, the last time I was there was in 2003 as a writer.
Sure.
But it was during the height of the D-backs rise. And, yeah, you know, there were times that I was sometimes critical of things going on with the organization. I was just doing my job. Mm-hmm. But he did mention on an occasion or two that, hey, let's try to be more positive, like you just said.
Yep.
And I said, you know, Senator, I'm just doing my job. He goes, I know you are, but it doesn't always have to be so negative. And I said, I'm not always negative. Yeah. He goes, well, it just seems like it. And, you know, you pick off one or two things, you can say it's always negative. But but it was always, it was never nasty, our conversations, and that I always appreciated.
Talking with Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst, insider. He is in Cleveland today with the Indians and Twins. Let's switch over to the Diamondbacks. Here we are, four games with the Dodgers starting tonight. I have to tell you, sitting here in Arizona today, I feel like this team's going to finish five games out, and they're going to miss the postseason. I cannot figure them out for the life of me. Souza hitting leadoff last night was a good idea by Torrey. He's hinted for the last few weeks he was going to do something. They're throwing Robbie Ray tonight, who's not been good at all this year on a consistent basis. I just feel like the Dodgers and Rockies are going to blow right by them in these last 30 days. Where are you at coming into this series tonight?
You know what? I still have some confidence in them. I still think that I do. And I think that the pitching is what's going to kind of push them. I know that they're having trouble scoring runs, but I feel like the pitching is what always matters in September. And I still think that they have a stronger pitching staff. Look, the Dodgers have, you know, great pitching, but a lot of it's hurt or been hurt or is hurt. And for that reason, I just think that I think it's going to be a dogfight until the very, very end. I still see them kind of squeaking out and getting in somehow.
You know, in terms of Archie, he's been erratic still. We talked about him a couple weeks ago, and Boxberger's had a couple burp ups, and I just Nick Ahmed running through a stop sign.
But you look at Kenley Jansen. Kenley Jansen huge.
Yeah.
You know, he's stepped all over himself in a major way lately. I just don't know that there's anybody that stands out. And if so, you kind of measure pitching staff versus pitching staff. And to me, that's why I think Arizona still has a chance.
Yeah, where's Colorado at on your view?
I like the Rockies, and I like what Buddy Black has done. Just don't know that they have the depth in their pitching that both Arizona and the Dodgers have. For that reason, I'm not sure. But there is that Coors Field factor where they can just kind of mash themselves, you know, mash opponents. And for that reason, they are the wild – I don't want to say the wild card, but a wild card, so to speak, in the true sense of the definition of the word, to be able to overtake both the D-backs and the Dodgers.
Why are you in Cleveland on Labor Day weekend?
I am here to do a feature on probably the most underrated superstar in the game, maybe in all of sports.
Wow.
Their third baseman, Jose Ramirez.
Wow. I mean, that's a strong
MVP
statement.
Candidate.
All of sports?
Well, think of a top three or four MVP candidate in any sport, and I think there's a lot of knowledge of any of those people. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know that that is the same case with Jose Ramirez. You know, he's a quiet, shy kid. And he plays in Cleveland. You know, he's not LeBron.
Yeah, yeah.
Who also played, you know, right across the street from Progressive Field. And I would challenge anybody to tell me a more under the radar superstar in any sport right now.
While we were talking, you mentioned that I just pulled up his numbers. 37 home runs, but 28 stolen bases. I don't see that very often. And hitting .292.
No.
28 stolen bases and 37 home runs. I mean,
and look at the RBI numbers. I mean, just, you know, he's...
No, he's getting it done there, but gosh almighty. So he's got speed, he's got power, he's had 140 hits so far in 130 games. He scored 90 runs, he's going to finish over 100 runs. I mean, you're right, statistically, and it's interesting you bring up LeBron. It's like, here's the guy in Cleveland that everybody should be talking about, and they're not, and he's on the baseball team. So that sounds like a cool angle.
Well, I think it also speaks to, you know, baseball, that it's lost its luster among a lot of fans. Mm-hmm. But you know, you think of the American League MVP race, and it, you know, everybody talks about Mookie Betts, J.D. Martinez, Mike Trout. But Jose Ramirez is right there in the conversation, and yet he just is under the radar.
I'll let you go off that. Appreciate your time and being on the road. Safe travels. Thanks.
Okay. See you, Brad.
There's Pedro Gomez on the road. doing his thing. We'll take a break here, and on the other side, I'm going to dive into this Brandon Dawkins story a little bit. We're going to, when Fitz talks at the McCain service, we're even going to run long today. If he hasn't been on the stage by 11, right now I think he's on track to be on stage right during Bill's segment. So we're going to move some things around as the show progresses, but Bill's going to be with us and much, much more. We'll be back after this timeout. Welcome back. So as the day progresses here, you will see more and more tributes for Senator McCain with the memorial service going on today. And by tonight, you will see Larry Fitzgerald or hear Larry Fitzgerald in his comments. Larry is scheduled to speak, we understand, here at the memorial service, maybe in the next couple of minutes. So I'm going to start going down a path on Brandon Dawkins. And if I just reverse course, just so you guys know, I want to bring that to you today. I think it's something that we all want to hear and see what Larry has to say in his comments. So that's in a bit. I do want to talk about Brandon Dawkins, though. Brandon Dawkins was a quarterback at the University of Arizona. He went to Indiana University, and he announced yesterday that he is retiring from football. He's stepping away because of mental health, and he's getting depressed being a quarterback. He did not win the quarterback job at Indiana, and this is something that I believe we're starting to see more and more of, and that is players becoming overwhelmed with the situation that they're in. And I bring this up because we talk concussions on this show. We've talked about the injuries of the former players and players now trying to deal with life when they don't have all their faculties together because they put everything out on the football field. What we have not talked much about through the years, and it's starting to percolate up to the surface, is the subject of mental health. I think everybody at some point in time goes through the doubt phase, or they put on the Superman, I've got it all figured out, I have no problems, I have no worries. I can tell you there are days where I do this, where I struggle. There are days where I come into work where it's hard. There are nights where I'm sitting there trying to be a father and a husband and do work, and it's hard. And anybody who sits in front of a camera doesn't want to talk about that stuff because they have this whole persona. Doesn't mean that I sit there every day and break down on it, but it's just mental health is real. And I don't care who it is that is in that space. You're going to have the ups and the downs. You are. I have a family member, not one of my own, but one of my brother's sons who struggles with Asperger's. So I've had to research that. I've had family members that have dealt with depression and they are on low dose of medication. That's just on the family side. On the sports end of things, because it has become so competitive and because there is this year round, day after day, bang you into the head. If you don't work at it, you're not going to succeed. Mental health has become more and more of an issue. And Kevin Love brought it to the forefront last spring. And he was ridiculed by some people when talking about it. And I praised him. I thought it was great that he was secure enough in his own skin to admit, you know what? There are days where I struggle. There's days I get anxious. I don't know about you. I've seen people in real life in public settings have panic attacks. It's not pretty. I've been around kids. I've been around athletes that struggle that will confide and say, I just can't sleep because I'm so nervous. I'm so upset. I'm so anxious. I've got anxiety. I cannot focus in the classroom. And so this story, while it's not big on the surface today, I actually told Eric this morning, you know, we have to do something on this story on the site. We have to do something on the story on the TV show. And there's not many times where I just walk in and say, we're doing this. But this is one of those stories that we're going to have to address because I don't believe that it's just an isolated, I didn't get the starting job at Indiana and I'm going to check out. No, I believe that it's all around. There's a quarterback at Arizona State named Samson Sakechi. Samson was very talented. He decided to go into the music industry. He writes very deep, deep stuff. And some of the stuff he writes about is giving me the impression that he struggled with some of his mental health when he was at Arizona State. I could be wrong on that, but it's just what I read. There's other athletes I'm not gonna name, but this is something we're going to talk about. Larry Fitzgerald is stepping to the podium to talk about Senator McCain. Here is his comments.
I fell in love with my country when I was a prisoner in someone else's. Senator McCain spoke these heartfelt words as he accepted the Republican nomination for president in 2008. They were the words of an authentic American hero. We all know how the story goes. A fiery Navy pilot shot down by the North Vietnamese over a lake near Hanoi. As his plane spun out of control, he bailed out just in time to plunge into the lake below. That pilot, a young John McCain, was taken hostage as a prisoner of war, where he spent more than 5.5 years, almost 2,000 days, he would endure countless beatings, torture, solitary confinement, and mental and emotional anguish that none of us will ever have to endure. After getting to know Senator McCain, I felt compelled to visit Vietnam. I wanted to see the places where the will of John McCain was tested and forged. I saw the lake. I walked the steps. I sat in the cell. And the ordeal that my friend survived became all the more real. Many people might wonder what a young African-American kid from Minnesota and a highly decorated Vietnam War hero turned United States Senator might have in common. Well, I thought of a few. I'm black. He was white. I'm young. He wasn't so young. He lived with physical limitations brought on by war. I'm a professional athlete. He ran for president. I run out of bounds. He was the epitome of toughness, and I do everything I can to avoid contact. I have flowing locks, and well, he didn't. How does this unlikely pair become friends? I've asked myself the same question. But do you know what the answer is? That's just who he is. Over the several years I had the privilege of spending time with Senator McCain, sometimes it was just a visit to our practices. Other times it was him texting and saying, "Yo, you need to pick it up this Sunday." I'm thankful that through these moments, the opportunity that we had to share our lives, and more importantly, our stories. While from very different worlds, we developed a meaningful friendship. And this highlights the very rare and very special qualities of Senator McCain that I came to deeply admire. He didn't judge individuals based on the color of their skin, their gender, their backgrounds, their political affiliations, or their bank accounts. He evaluated them on the merits of their character and the contents of their hearts. He judged them on the work they put in and the principles they lived by. It was this approach to humanity that made Senator John McCain so respected by countless people around the world, including me. His accomplishments were many: U.S. Senator, presidential candidate, statesman, warrior, and hero. His work ethic, tireless. His fight, legendary. But what made Senator McCain so special was that he cared about the substance of my heart, more so than where I came from. While some might find our friendship out of the ordinary, it was a perfect example of what made him an iconic figure of American politics and service to fellow man. He celebrated differences. He embraced humanity, championed what was true and just, and saw people for who they were. Yes, ours was an unlikely friendship, but it's one that I will always cherish. I've had the honor of attending several of the Sedona forums hosted by Senator McCain and his remarkable wife, Cindy. There were world leaders in politics, business, science, and education to discuss the most pressing matters of our time. Issues like healthcare, global warming, technology, and human trafficking. These leaders gathered to find real solutions, and they gathered because Senator McCain asked them to be there. His devotion to making Arizona, the United States, and the whole world a better place for everyone has inspired countless leaders, like those at the Sedona Forums. I'm confident his legacy of devotion and to the common good will continue to inspire people around the world long after today. A few years ago, he was kind enough to take me on a personal tour of the U.S. Senate. It was obvious that Senator McCain was highly regarded. He believed to be right and was good regardless of which political side of the aisle his opinion fell on. I saw how respected he was and how much admiration he commanded from people from across the political spectrum. But that admiration wasn't surprising, because Senator McCain was known as a man of integrity and conviction. A man who at times, just as he sacrificed himself for his fellow POWs in Vietnam, willingly chose to sacrifice his own political gains in order to accomplish what he believed was best for all. As a result of this type of sacrifice, he may have lost the support of a political ally here and there, but he gained the respect and admiration of an entire nation. In closing, I'd like to honor the love I saw in Senator McCain. He loved the people of Arizona, serving them passionately and diligently for decades. He took that same love to Washington and boldly advocated for the freedoms and liberties he had grown to love as a young Navy pilot. But the love I saw most was the love he had for his wife, Cindy, and his children. I heard him speak about them often, and the love always came pouring through in every word. Senator McCain, it's been a true honor to call you friend. Your toughness and bravery inspired us. You sacrificed and risked our lives. Your devotion to the people of Arizona, our nation, and your convictions won our admiration. Your love set an example for all of us to follow. Jackie Robinson once said, "A life is not important except in the impact that it has on other lives." Senator McCain, we will miss the blessings of being in your presence, but we will never forget the impact you had on the world, and more importantly, on each of the lives that you touched. We are all better for having known you. Rest in peace, my friend.
Larry Fitzgerald, with his comments today at the saying goodbye to John McCain and his service. Well done. What do you think, Eric?
It was great.
Yeah.
It was really good.
It was just...
It was the perfect combination of a little humor, a little self-perspective.
I like to run out of bounds.
A couple stories.
I have flowing locks. It was great.
It was good.
Oh,
I'm young. He wasn't young.
He wasn't young. It's like, it was just, it's.
He was a prisoner of war. I'm a professional athlete.
Do you remember when he went to Vietnam? Remember when Larry.
I do.
Yeah.
And Larry goes everywhere.
He goes everywhere.
So, I mean,
yeah.
When he goes everywhere, Brad, he literally goes everywhere.
Yeah. Because there'll be people that will fact check and say, oh, you really go sit in the cell. I remember a picture of all that. So, you know, there'll be the. The backlash is going to come in a couple days. And even today, there's some people already on Twitter that, you know.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's just like.
I mean, it was his anecdote about Vietnam was really cool.
Oh, yeah. Like, it was great.
Like, Senator McCain inspired me to go see that, so.
Well, if Good Eat the Movies on the other side, we'll get his thoughts, because I thought Grant Woods was very good, too. He spoke earlier. Joe Biden is speaking now. Of course, Luis Gonzalez and Shane Doan will be pallbearers. When the service is complete. Goody at the Movies, he's got a movie or two to get to, and we'll talk about the memorial service today. That's next. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, and also just hearing Larry Fitzgerald speak, it's time for Goody at the Movies and other stuff. We'll just start calling it Goody at the Movies and other stuff, or other stuff with Bill. AZ Central, Gannett Chief Film and Media Critic Bill Goody Koontz, what do you make out of the McCain service so far? Because I know you're watching.
It reminds me of, and this will maybe this will mean these names will mean something to people or not. I don't know, but when Grant Woods, Larry Fitzgerald was really good. Everybody has been good so far, and Joe Biden is very heartfelt. But Grant Woods, man, it reminds me of when. You know, a mutual friend of ours, when Steve Schoenfeld died.
Yep.
And Kent Summers gave gave one of his eulogies. And it was one of those ones that was perfect. It was really funny and a little bit bawdy, but also very heartfelt. And I was talking, and Ed Montini and I were there, and we were after Ed said, "Now I'm going to get to know Kent just so that he can give the eulogy at my funeral."
Well, and here's the thing. On the other night, Grant spoke Saturday night. So I, like you, I think we both were consuming media Saturday night after the senator passed away. Correct?
Yeah.
And so Grant was speaking in a press conference, not press availability, whatever. The media gathered him around him, and the station I was watching decided to dive out of it when he was in full Grant Woods mode. And I started throwing stuff at the TV, and it's like, this is why I'm not there anymore, because idiots like that that make calls to say, oh, we've heard from him enough. No, you've not heard from him enough. I don't need the 20-second soundbite to put on a Twitter feed. So, you know, today I've been sitting here. I heard some of Grant during breaks. Grant politically, Bill, let's just talk politically for Grant Woods. He should get back in the game, shouldn't he?
You know, this is funny. My wife was just asking me. I told her, I said, man, Grant Woods is about to make me cry. And she's like, why? And I said, he's such a great speaker. And she said, did he ever run for governor? And I said, no, you know, everybody thought he was going to. And she said, well, I certainly did. And I thought, but he just stepped out at a time when it seemed like, you know, the world was sort of in front of him. Because he has such bipartisan appeal, and maybe that wouldn't fly anymore. I don't know. Maybe you got to be, you know, too conservative or too liberal. And he just always seemed much like his mentor, McCain, you know. I mean,
yes.
McCain is
yes.
more conservative than people are. The whole notion of McCain as this maverick is a bit. McCain's a great guy, and he's a heroic guy. There's no question about it. But the idea of him as this maverick is a bit overblown. I mean, he was a very partisan conservative 99% of the time. But at least he did have that 1%. And now, the way the world is now, that makes you an outlier, you know? I mean, that makes you a throwback to a time when you could at least compromise on some things.
Yeah,
and it also makes you really unpopular with some people.
Sure, and I think that there were times, the whole maverick stuff, I think people have latched onto that. Is it a maverick stance to say that everybody should be treated equal in our country? You know, is that really a maverick stance, or is that just good human decency? You know, that's where I'm struggling with people that just want to throw a maverick label on somebody because he cared about his fellow man, not saying let's not let people in or let's kick people out.
He did something that, and it reminds me a lot of what's going on with media today. He made a lot of mistakes, and he would be the first to admit it. And he was
yes.
not a stranger to political expediency. He was all about immigration reform until people weren't anymore. And then he just swung hard right, and he was, you know, build the wall and all this stuff. And then as soon as he won, he kind of went back, and he was, you know, all for immigration reform again. But he would acknowledge up front that's why he did it. You know, it was a mistake. Maybe it was kind of – and I think that what differentiates him – and this is also – I hate to draw this parallel exactly – but differentiates real media from what everybody wants to call fake media is, yes, he makes mistakes. Yes, media makes mistakes. We all make mistakes. The good people, the real people, the legitimate people, or the organizations are the ones that admit it and correct them.
Correct. No, that's right.
Because if you can't pretend that you don't make mistakes, everybody does. I'll tell you what, my lasting legacy at the Arizona Republic will not be much, but it will be this. I once spelled shirt without the R. and it got into print.
That's great.
And nothing else. They introduced into the software, our editing software, something that catches obscenities. So if I have nothing else, 50 years from now, nobody's going to know who I was. But at least maybe there will be, fewer dirty words in the paper. Although by then, just anything will go. You know, I don't know. Who knows?
That's the Goody Kunz tab. You know, just push that.
Exactly.
Just push that. It's a shift command Goody. let's talk about the movie, The Little Stranger. Then The Little Strangers. We work movies into the conversation.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I'm going to pronounce his name wrong. It's Domhnall Gleeson. He's Brendan Gleeson's son, and he's been in all kinds of cool stuff. He was in Ex Machina, which is great. He's Hux in the latest Star Wars series and all that stuff. And he plays this doctor. It's set in World War II, and he's called to this mansion where his family grew up. Like, his mother was a servant there or something, so he was there all the time. And he's treating the son, who's a war hero, but he's maimed and he's, you know, sort of disfigured. And things start going weird. And it's one of those movies where it's not necessarily scary in the traditional sense, but over time it creeps up on you, and it's just like, huh, this is pretty creepy. And the acting is really good, and it's just
I don't know. I liked it. But it is a sort of a slow burn. It reminded me a lot, if you've ever read the Turn of the Screw by Henry James. You're never quite sure if the scary stuff that's happening, if it's real or if it's not, or if it's even happening. And I like that stuff. I like that kind of thing where it's like, could be, maybe, who knows.
Yeah, horror movies, is you and I visited through the years, horror movies are at the top of your list, I think.
Love them.
Yeah.
Love them. And this is a thoughtful one. I don't like just the crazy, gory ones for no purpose.
Sure.
I like the ones that use it. I've written about this before. I think there's something cathartic about a horror movie. It's like, and I've talked to a lot of directors of movies like this. It's like there's something about, like, you know, there's some little part in your brain that knows it isn't real. So it's satisfying. It's like you can be scared, but you know it's not really going to happen to you. But you can still get caught up in it and get invested in it.
That's good. I'll let you go off that and get you back to Biden. Thanks for the visit.
Thank you.
See, yep, there's Goody at the Movies. Always good to catch up with Bill. Devin, we got to get Devin a microphone because Devin is the newest cast member here. We call it like the Mickey Mouse Club or something. I don't know, Eric, can you turn your camera on? Or no, you unplugged it. If you just have Devin come over and put the headset on for a minute, because I just want to talk to him. Make sure Devin puts his camera on because this could go really bad. Make sure that he turns the camera on. So there it is. Now, Eric, get up.
Man, yeah. You're so bossy. Do this, do that, get up,
please,
sit down.
Please.
Jeez.
Eric would like, please get up. Please
stand
have
by.
Devin.
I'm turning off my mic.
Yeah, turn off your mic and have Devin come over. Because I've mentioned Devin's name and people, they're like, who's Devin? We have not seen Devin yet. Well, in the way that things are set up here, we don't want you to see Devin. There's Devin.
That's true. Is this some sort of baptism by fire here?
By fire. And I wouldn't even call it baptism. I'd call it, we're pouring you in hot water and hot oil and that's that.
Sounds like fun.
So, you know, Devin Henry came on my radar about a month and a half ago through Jordan. Jordan said, there's someone that I think would be a really good fit to the team. And we have the Iron Man and Jared Nielsen, but Jared's had some health stuff. And, you know, so I met with Devin and I don't know, this is what, your third week?
Yeah.
Third week. Yeah. You haven't screwed up much. And what do you think so far about our little slice of heaven here?
You know, I think my favorite part is that no matter who I talk to, former interns, current interns, everyone likes being here. So that's definitely a plus.
They're all interns, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't talk to pros around the market. They're going to say, get out of there. Run.
Yeah, no, Kim. But no, everyone has fun here. There's a lot of things to do here. You guys carry a lot of different content. And something that people don't really catch up on enough is everything in the local scene. You know, I'm able to write a story on, you know, what's going on the West Side. Yeah, there's a couple newspapers in Glendale and Peoria doing that, but besides that, you're not going to catch that on your everyday AZ Central stuff besides Bishop Gorman Centennial tonight. But no one's talking about Ironwood Cactus.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know.
You're very passionate about this.
I really am. Yeah. But, no, it's really cool to be able to have not just a local market in Metro Phoenix, but a local market in we're going southeast, we're going northwest, and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's well put. What is your background? Why are you qualified to be here? What's your story?
I was actually in a high school broadcasting program called the Peoria Soon Broadcasting Network for my senior year in high school, and then I continued going back volunteering, working with the equipment that we use here, and then also doing play-by-play for, I'm up to about a dozen different sports now, and so.
What's the strangest sport you've done play-by-play of?
Strangest sport that I've done play-by-play for was, it's actually one of my favorites. I did a play-by-play for a robotics tournament for the state regional championship up at NAU.
You should bring that in sometime. Let's put it on the air.
Not a problem. It's actually really interesting once you read the, because it's not like like the fight robots that you see on TV.
Yeah, yeah,
which
yeah. Battle bots.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping for, because stuff is cool, but I mean, it's where like they make like an Xbox controller and to operate a robot to do certain tasks, and it was just funky. I loved it.
All right. We could talk all day, but I don't want to, so I'm going to get you out of here.
Sounds
nicely
good.
Nicely done. Devin has a passion for NASCAR, too, that we'll get into as his role here continues to increase, but that's our newest cast member, and it's a lot of fun. We are self-funded. That means we do this with sponsorship. If we don't have sponsors, we don't do this, and I go find something else to do. So we appreciate the sponsors. And we encourage you to please support them as we continue to do this into year number 8 coming up here in a couple of weeks. Have yourself a great weekend.